So without further ado, we're going to dig into the scriptures. We've been talking the first two Sundays, we're talking about breaking out of containment. So you could think of it as breakthrough or breaking out. So what kind of things are we breaking out from? So those things that restrict our lives. So we're breaking out of those things that contain us. I don't know about you, but I've got things that contain my life. I can only go so far in God, and then my own character foibles trip me over and sort of stop me from getting to that next kind of step in my faith. And I'm wanting to go further in God, but there's some things that in my life I need to deal with. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. I think it's a bad thing to be complacent. Complacency is, I'm really happy with where I'm at in God. I mean, it's good to be happy and contented, but it's good to have a divine dissatisfaction with where we're at in God. I think divine ambition is good. We talked about last week, selfish ambition is a bad thing. It's motivated by selfishness and pride. But to have a godly ambition is good. To have an ambition to be, you know, the Bible says that we're destined to become conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's plan for you and his plan for me. His plan for you is that we look like Jesus, that our character and who we are looks like him. And I know when I look at myself and then I look at Jesus, there's a big difference there. But it's good to be dissatisfied, isn't it? It's good to be irritated almost with where you're at and agitated to become more in God. And of course we can't, as Charlotte said in that prophetic word this morning, we can't do it ourselves. We're not saying lift yourselves up by your bootstraps. We can just try harder and it will happen. But it's a mixture of us partnering with God. It's his grace. He gives us his grace. But Paul says, don't take the grace of God in vain. Meaning, he said, I work harder than all the other apostles. Meaning, God gave an abundant grace. God forgave him. You know, he was a terrorist, basically, killing Christians. We just heard yesterday that fastest growing church in the world today is the church in Iran. They're the most persecuted. And the guy that was talking to us, John Glass, some of you may know, the previous superintendent, he was saying he was over visiting a country near Iran, and there were literally couples coming up to him and telling him of their tortures, the tortures that had endured for their faith. But the church in Iran is persecuted, but it's the fastest growing church. So it's good to have godly ambition, but it's good to realize that we need God's grace, and he gives it to us. But Paul also said some turn God's grace into license to sin, which means they receive God's grace and they think, okay, now I can kind of live how I want. Well, that's just a misunderstanding of God's grace. God's grace empowers us so that we have the ability or the spiritual resources to live out the way we're meant to. God doesn't just leave us as orphans, does he? He gives us he puts his spirit within us to live out the faith. So this morning, I just want to jump into a short passage in Jude. Now, Jude's a Bible book that's only got one chapter. So there's only one chapter, chapter one, Jude. So we're just going to go there, and it's a really interesting chapter. If you have an opportunity to read through that Jude chapter one, but we're going to drop in to Jude in verse 20. And this is all in keeping with the theme of breaking out of containment. And then next, the following Sundays, we're going to look at some of the things leading up to the Easter outreach, like God's heart for the lost, the sending God. We're going to look at Jesus, the friend of sinners. Jesus spent most of his time hanging out with people who the rest of society thought were kind of untouchables. And he got a lot of criticism from the religious people, didn't he? Religious leaders criticized him really harshly because he hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. But that's the Jesus we serve. He loves people. He didn't hang out with them to become like them, but to be a physician, to change them and to mold them into a life that would be enjoyable for them and fruitful. So Jude 1:20 says, "But you, dear friends." So who's talking here? I'm not sure who wrote the book of Jude. James might know. It might be Jude, but it might be someone else. But he's saying, "You, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. What's he saying there? Keep yourselves in the love of God, which means we need to keep ourselves in his love. It means maybe we could not keep ourselves in his love and drift away from that. You know what? Build yourself up in your most holy faith. What is your most holy faith? It's faith in Jesus. It's faith in what he's done for you. That's your most holy faith, isn't it? Don't you think? The most holy faith is faith that Jesus paid a great price for you, as we heard this morning from Christine. Paid a massive price for you on the cross. And because of that, every sin that you've ever committed in your life, the punishment that you deserve for that sin, and in our mind we might think we haven't been that bad, but in God's sight, because of his holiness, it is. But because of what Jesus did, he's taken the punishment or the rap for what you deserve. He took that on himself, on the cross. And now you've been brought back into friendship with your heavenly Father. He's no longer your enemy. He's your friend. He's your Father. He loves you. That's your most holy faith, isn't it? Everything else in your Christian walk comes out of that revelation. Now, some of you are looking a bit puzzled. Is it your most holy faith, isn't it? Now, I believe it is. Paul said that when the gospel is preached, that gospel message, the word, creates faith. That's the word. The Bible says that, how does faith come to us? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, when that faith comes, we have an opportunity then. What we do with that faith that arises, that confidence that, hey, maybe this is true, then we can choose what we do with that, whether we believe it or we not, or we don't. But faith comes by hearing the message. So Jude is saying, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're classic Pentecostals, aren't we? We would say, well, that's speaking in tongues. And I believe that. I speak in tongues often, and I'm sure you do as well. And that builds your spirit man up. Paul said, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. It means you're building an edifice or a building on the inside of yourself to house the anointing. So this speaking in tongues is a great gift that God's given us. It's an amazing gift to build yourself up so that when you're feeling low, when you're feeling short of strength, when you speak in tongues, it gives you strength, inner strength. Now, if you haven't got the gift, God will give you that gift. He doesn't give, you know, I don't think that he would give some people the gift to edify themselves and others not. That's my personal view on that. And we all need to be edified, don't we? Because life comes at you at 100 miles an hour sometimes and hits you up the side of the head, and we need that. But, so I'm all for that, but I don't think that's the limit to praying in the Spirit. In fact, I think all prayer, if it's not prayed in the Spirit, all prayer is sin. That's not prayed in the Spirit. What do I mean by that? So if I'm praying, I've just got a few things down here, and I'm guilty of all of these types of prayer. So we'll look at the first one that I'm guilty of, and I'm sure you might have been as well if you have prayed, particularly in a pre-meeting situation, even in your own private prayer life. Religious prayers. I apologize for the religious prayers I've prayed. I don't mean to, but I do sometimes. They're repetitive prayers that aren't really from the heart. They're not from a connection with God's Spirit. They're just repetitive prayers. They're like, this is what I pray. And I just repeat it. And it doesn't, I just do it because it's the thing to do. It's like a habit, but it's not really coming out of a connection with God's Spirit. That's a religious prayer. Anyone ever prayed those kind of prayers? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We pray, it's a great prayer, but we can turn it into a religious prayer, can't we? The other kind of religious prayer, I hope I haven't prayed this kind of prayer, but it's like the Pharisee prayed. Father, I thank you that I'm not like that sinful man over there. Lord, you've spared me the, you know, that was. Remember that religious prayer he prayed, and God didn't hear that, but then there was the guy who was just saying, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner, I just need your mercy, and God heard that prayer. Why? Because it was a prayer that was inspired by God's Spirit. God gave him the humility to realize, well, he just needed God's mercy. And So he prayed that prayer and God heard him. Here's one that I am definitely guilty of. I've done this recently and I felt convicted about it afterwards. But it's praying, this was in a prayer meeting situation, praying a corrective prayer. So really it's a prayer, but it's correcting everybody. It's like a mini preach prayer. It's like, I feel that everybody needs to change this about themselves, but instead of just, you know, waiting for the right opportunity, I think I'll just pray and I'll correct everybody with a prayer. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that. Yeah, I apologize. I'm not saying I'll never do it again, because in a weak moment, maybe I will, but I don't think that is necessary praying by the Spirit. It could be manipulative, it could be just a human kind of, because James says that human anger doesn't achieve God's will. Human anger doesn't change people. Sometimes we can pray things out of frustration or do things out of frustration or anger, but it doesn't, you know, that's not from God's Spirit. Here's another one. I don't think I've done this one, but I've heard it. I've heard this one. Praying using hints. Instead of trusting God for provision. Father, I just pray for that £10 that I need this week. It's quite a desperate need. Desperate need? Maybe I have, but that's praying with hints. That's not praying in faith. That's praying, hoping that someone will hear what you need is and supply it, rather than trusting God. Or just saying to someone, look, I've got a need, can I borrow £10? That's probably a lot better way of doing it than dropping a hint in a pre-meeting or, you know, so and hoping that someone will feel compassion. And so praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, we're not going to get it right straight off, but same with anything. You've got to at least try something to get in the right direction. But praying in the Spirit is praying out of your spirit. Jesus said, the true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's in reality, it's in honesty, isn't it? It's not putting on a facade. It's having your heart connected with God. That is a prayer that's prayed out of your spirit. Praying prayers inspired by the Spirit is when we stir ourselves up, isn't it? We need to stir ourselves up to pray those kind of prayers. You know, prayer fuels our faith. Prayer gives us an awareness of God's presence. When we begin to pray, we suddenly become aware, wow, you're amazing, God. You're there, you're almighty, you're creator of heaven and earth. And as I'm praying, I'm sensing that you're here. And as I'm praying, man, you're listening. You're listening to me. And I've got an audience with you. And the Bible says that if God hears you, you have what you've asked of him. And so you begin to pray and you can feel it. You can feel that the Spirit of God's in your prayer. Prayer keeps God in view. Prayer reminds us that God loves us. Jesus said, our Father. It was the first thing he said. When you pray, say, our Father. And when we pray, our Father, we suddenly realize sometimes we've had a bad experience with our own father. But when God begins to remold and shape who he is, and we begin to pray our Father, we begin to see that he's a Father who has compassion. He cares. He wants to provide. He wants to bless. He wants to encourage. He wants to edify. He wants to meet your need, your most pressing need. And so then we begin to pray. The Bible says that he's put his Spirit in us, and his Spirit cries, Abba, Father. Prayer is communication with God that keeps that vital connection. And that's building ourselves up. If we spend too many days, and you've all heard that saying, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. You've all heard that, haven't you? 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And I know I get very weak if I don't pray. If I forget to pray, not that you forget, but sometimes you just get busy, you get up, whatever. You've had a busy night, you'd stayed up late, and then you get up and you kind of crash out of bed into your day. And you know how it goes. And we need God's strength. We need to build ourselves up, don't we? Prayer isn't always just us talking to God. It's not just blah, 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 blah. God still loves us and he loves to hear us pray, but it's not all about us talking. Prayer is about listening. It's like communication, isn't it? It's about listening. You know, 2 years ago, around about 2 years ago, we're in a meeting And you know, you have those moments where there's room for God to speak to you. And it was just one of those moments. And that was a moment of prayer. Prayer doesn't just happen when you're by yourself in your closet praying. Prayer can happen any time. And this was one of those moments. And I felt like where God speaks into your heart and you know what he's saying to you. And he said this to me. And I'm saying this because I think it was for me, but maybe it's for you as well. Nothing you can do will make me love you more. Nothing you can do will make me love you less. I know it's pretty simple, but nothing you do can make God love you more. Nothing you do can make him love you less. Meaning it's not about performance. On your worst day, he loves you the same. On your best day, he still loves you. His love is constant. It doesn't just fluctuate according to your performance. See, I was caught up in a performance mentality because I was mad about sports. That was how I was wired to perform. But I've learned that God loves me on my worst day, even though I feel ashamed of myself on my bad days. But he loves me just the same. And on the very best day, when I felt like I've just been amazing, he still doesn't love me anymore. He still loves me the same. I'm not saying I'm that amazing, but you know, when you have those days and you feel like everything just falls into place. Some of you have had those, anyone occasionally had those days? I think I had one once, but yeah. Anyway. But that is what I'm talking about. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. That was praying. For me, that was praying in the Spirit, listening to God. I heard that. That built me up. I was built up for a long time after that. I dug into that a bit and I meditated on it. And that built me up. That's where your prayer time becomes a, you know, place where you build your muscles, spiritual muscles. God's love for you doesn't increase in degrees or decrease in degrees according to your behavior. It stays the same. It's God's love is complete. How can God love any less imperfectly or completely? Because he's God. If he loved any less than completely, he wouldn't be God, would he? So he can't love you any less than completely, fully. Jesus in John 17, verse 23 said, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. What does that mean? Jesus was in complete union with his Father. There was nothing, you know, there was just that amazing unity between himself and his Father. They were one, Jesus said. And then Jesus said, I want to bring my people, my sons and daughters, into that unity. And Jesus said, the same love that you have for me, they're going to have. Jesus loves you. God, the Father, loves you the same as he loved his son, Jesus. And we know that God loved his son, even though God allowed his son to go to the cross for you and I, God, the Father, loved his son fully and completely, and that's the same love he has for you. It's amazing. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. I'm chosen, and you are too. In fact, why don't you just say that? Why don't you say, I'm loved by God? Why don't you say, I am chosen by God? You're chosen. Now, we can say it, but if we really think about, and Sue was saying that, God works on a deeper level. If we believed we were chosen by God Almighty, I wonder how some of my behavior would change. Am I behaving like someone who's chosen by the ruler of the universe, by the king, the creator of the whole universe? Does my behavior and so on reflect that? We can carry ourselves with a bit of dignity, can't we, being God's children? You know, in Psalms it talks about the goodness of God's love. What does that mean? It talks about the goodness of love. So there's goodness in God's love. So I'm going to take another tack now, and the goodness of God's love, it's like if you could see love as like white light, and the goodness of God is when it's refracted into the colours of the rainbow, and each colour would be an aspect of his goodness. And there's things like his provision, his peace, his protection, his empowering. There's all these different aspects of his goodness for you. They're amazing. But God because of the goodness of his love, is going to meet. Sometimes we're praying, God, give me this, give me this. This is what I want. But God, he loves us so much. Sometimes he doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what he knows we need more. Because he's looking not at the immediate. He's looking at your eternal well-being. He's looking at your future rewards in heaven. And he's thinking, well, really what they need is this. And so what I was going to dig into a little bit this morning was, the Bible says in Hebrews that God disciplines those he loves. Now sometimes, as much as we don't want to think or talk about that side of it, I can see in my own life, sometimes that God's discipline is the thing that I need more than anything. That aspect of his love. Now, the discipline of God isn't always warm and fuzzy. And I shouldn't say the word fuzzy, because God's love isn't fuzzy. We can experience an amazing encounter of his love and feel waves of his joy, waves of his peace, waves of just all the good things that he has. And it's an emotional experience, and that's brilliant. And I love that. I've laughed, I've cried, I've experienced the great things of God, but it shouldn't be called warm and fuzzy. But I'm saying the discipline of God is another thing. But God says he disciplines those he loves, and sometimes his discipline is what we need more than anything. And what I was going to say, and what I'm going to say, is that the reason why God disciplines us is because he's targeting, through his discipline, the things in our lives that are only hindering us from entering into a fuller experience of the abundant life that he has for us. And we fight his discipline. I fight it. No. But if only we could work with him, only we could respond to his discipline, we'd enter into a new realm of his abundance. That's why the Bible says we go from strength to strength and from glory to glory, because we have one level of, it doesn't mean that God's glory is getting more, it's just his glory is his glory, but we're only perceiving as much as we're able because of the condition of our spiritual life. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's without holiness, no one will see God. What's he saying there is that we only see as much of God as our heart is pure before him, in a way. So we go from strength to strength and glory to glory as we allow him to purify our hearts and our lives. So can I just encourage you, the discipline side of God, let's not fight that. If he's trying to deal with something in my life, in your life, let's work with him. And I'm just going to tell you a quick story and then I'll close off. But when I first started playing guitar, my guitar was really, really bad. I'd start playing and the family cat would, Tigger, would hide somewhere, just hide away. But my mum, although I really wanted to play guitar, I'm not great now, but I'm just saying that she gave me a year's worth of lessons. And I was taught how to play, and you had to practice. And, you know, if you're a guitarist, your fingers are quite sensitive to begin with, but after a while you get a callus on your fingers, and then it doesn't hurt anymore because you've worked hard at it, and you're able to play a few things. And the more you practice, the better you get at it. It's like any skill, isn't it? You enjoy it more. So then you learn a few songs, then you get a little bit better. The more you can do, and the more you can be a blessing, the more, you know, the cat wasn't hiding anymore. He was actually sitting listening to me and clapping, and that's amazing. Even tried to sing, meow, meow, that's amazing. But you hear what I'm saying? We fight God's discipline, but it's like me, if I'd said, no, Mum, I'm not going to go to the guitar teacher, I'm great the way I am, then I'd just be a horrible noise to everybody around me, and I wouldn't really enjoy it as much as I could. But that's what God's doing in your life and my life. He's got a great vision for you, a great goal for you, and the more we can respond to that, the more of God will come into, and the more of a blessing will be to those around us. And Kieran says amen. Oh, I better stop, because I know I went on too long last time, but yeah, I'll leave it at that. So just to say that, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, and keeping ourselves in the love of God. So keeping ourselves in the love of God. I'm going to finish with this thought because I need to round it off. But if we don't know that underneath it all, this is really, really important. I do need to say this. It is important that we need to know that God loves us kind of before. It helps to know deep down that he loves you before you enter into the, you know, like the discipline of God. Because what happens is if we don't have that deeply ingrained in our spirit, or we don't have that experience of God's love, what happens when he starts to discipline us, or when we experience things in life that are in our circumstances that are proof that he's disciplining us, yeah? What happens? We, instead of keeping ourselves in the love of God, we actually think he's rejecting us. We start thinking, well, things are going wrong or things are happening. This is a sign that God doesn't love me. It's a sign that he's rejecting me. And then we start hiding from him instead of responding to it and asking God, what are you trying to teach me in this situation or circumstance? Instead of asking him those important questions, we shut our hearts down to God, and then we still go through the religious motions, but we're really not learning from those experiences what we should be learning. So that's part of keeping ourselves in the love of God. I just wanted to, you know, kind of focus on those first things, but just to kind of bring that aspect of God's discipline, just because I just felt that was important this morning. So yeah, I had a lot more to share, but I'm gonna keep it there. Can we just have the band up? And what I'd like to do this morning, as we sing this last song together, you know, God, when we're hurting, God is tender with us. He's sensitive to us, and he loves us, and he wants to heal us. He has compassion for us. This morning, maybe there's some of you who God is disciplining. I'll put my hand up. God's disciplining me. He always is, but sometimes it's worse than other times. But I guess what I want this morning is, as we praise and worship God in this last song, why don't we just say, God, can you do whatever you want to do in me so that you can do what you want to do through me? Let's just kind of submit to the process. Because what happens is, if we don't, first of all, God gives us his word. We read his word and he tells us how it is. If we ignore that, if we ignore his word, there'll be people in our lives, maybe our husbands, wives, family, friends, they'll say things. If we ignore that, then he'll use circumstances. If we ignore circumstances, then it starts to get into dangerous territory. So what I'm saying is, let's not let it get to this point where God has to do those drastic things. Let's respond to his voice and say, God, let me just be so responsive to you. Let me allow you to mold me. I just want to be malleable and moldable. Can we do that? Was that okay? Can we just stand together and let's just wait in God's presence for just a moment?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you've got great plans for us as a church and for us individually. And I just pray that you would help us to be responsive to you and to what you're wanting to do in our lives. So I just pray as we go into this week that when you prompt us or when you touch an area in our hearts and our lives, I just pray we'd be responsive, knowing that you've only got a heart of love for us. You're only wanting the best for us. And Lord, we just want to say we trust you. In those circumstances that aren't ideal, Lord, we trust you. You're going to work good out of it all. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're able to, just voice that prayer in your heart to God this morning. Just say, Lord, the desire is there. I'm wanting to be responsive to you. I'm wanting to be molded into the image of Christ. Reveal to me those things that are offensive to you. Reveal those things that are keeping me from a more abundant life, from more being able to be a better channel of your blessing. Let's just pray that, if we're able to, just to pray that together, just individually. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. Amen. Amen.